You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is the 25th of November 2016 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Once again today, I'm joined by the producer of Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today on this glorious sunny winter's day?
Well, I'm doing fine actually, but I can't really tell you what it's like because the curtains are still shut.
Yeah, and in case you hadn't guessed, we are actually pre-recording this one. It's actually lunchtime today because I'm unable to make the live show. So, but as always, we are producing one for you. We were hoping to have Messerschmitt with us, but he's still working hard on his video production of Leon de Grel, which I just know is going to be fantastic when he finally finishes it. It's a full 2-hour production that he's working on. So you've got that to look forward to, and maybe we'll be able to get him next week to do some more on his Axis War Heroes. But what we do have for you this week is some information about what went on with the French importing black soldiers into the Rhineland. This is something that not a lot of people know about, but it's really shocking, and it was actually a forerunner of everything that's happening today. And I know you've been looking into it because with the Freemason links as well, but there's a lot that went on around about that time that I think our listeners would be interested in hearing about, Dennis. So why don't you give us a brief outline of what actually happened there and what we're going to be talking about tonight?
Sure. Well, at the moment, this is a theory of mine, which I was intending at some stage to do a kind of a documentary on whether or not that will happen or not. You know, it's still early, but certainly it's a subject I'm interested in. In Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, I actually showed footage of the French in the Rhineland. Didn't actually show any black soldiers. These were just the normal French soldiers who went into the Rhineland at one stage because the Germans had refused reparations and brutally went in there. And although, you know, what I'd forgotten at the time, and I suppose many people would have forgotten, that at that time, Germany was at peace. It wasn't at war, it was at peace, but it was suffering under the Versailles Treaty. Now, France, who Hitler always regarded as a worse enemy than even Britain, went in there and more or less forced slave labour. I mean, the Treaty of Versailles had already given them the rights to all the coal and mining in the area. So really, in a sense, you know, Germany was not only suffering many other aspects with food shortages and et cetera, but they were actually existing as a colony of the Allies. And consequently, after World War One, they'd had their own colonies taken away from them. They'd had land handed over to other countries. A real harsh punishment for a country who they claimed, wrongly, of course, of starting World War One. Now, in this period, I'm looking for a connection there because in Communism by the Back Door, I come to the conclusion that the Germans especially knew about the genocide, which is still taking place today. There's a video I came across of Goebbels talking about it in a speech, and also the fact that Hitler knew about Kudinov-Kalergi, which was a surprise to me as anybody when I found that out in the documentary. And Kudinov-Kalergi actually escaped Hitler a number of times, especially when they went into Austria, and then when they went into Czechoslovakia, and then when they went into France. 3 times he escaped. The final time he escaped to the US. And the book he wrote, Practical Idealism, which was around about 1920, coincides to the actions of the French of sending up to 40,000 black colony Moroccan soldiers into the Rhineland, fully armed. You've got to remember, all the Germans were unarmed. So you got these 40,000 black soldiers who were fighting the Germans not that long ago and are now strutting around fully armed, doing what black soldiers would want to do away from home for so long.
No, it's pretty shocking stuff. I think we need to stress this was in peacetime, and what was happening was that the Germans, they'd had their industrial land had been handed over to the French, and so they were effectively supposed to be working for the French, and the Germans didn't want to be doing this. I mean, this was unfair. So they weren't producing the amount that the French wanted. So the French shipped in all these soldiers from the colonies, these black soldiers, and taught them to hate the Germans. And so really, I think when you're referring to the genocide there, that's what you're referring to is what's going on today with this replacement of white people with other races, because that is genocide, isn't it? Inflicting conditions designed to replace one race with another. I'm paraphrasing a bit there. So this was the first instance of a large influx of Negroes into Europe in modern times, wasn't it?
That's right. And when you think France is just next door to Germany, I have to question why they're sending 40,000 Africans into Europe. And also the fact that Kalergi's brought this book out at the same time. Now, I'm not suggesting for a minute that Kalergi came with this wonderful idea of race mixing in 1920, I'm presuming he's got this idea a number of years before he wrote the book. And so it really does coincide, because in Communism by the Back Door, we find out that Kalergi was definitely a high-ranked Freemason. And France, of course, is a Masonic country. The French Revolution brought out a Masonic government ever since, which, of course, Britain was, and, of course, America was. So there's a link with Freemasonry there. And in Communism by the Back Door, the Freemasons in a magazine, a newspaper, what they printed, praised Kalergi for his the highest caliber of work that he's doing. And this is, around the time of the late 20s, early 1930s. Hitler is aware of him. Goebbels is aware that there's a genocide. Hitler's already, when he comes to power, is giving the German families money so that they will have more children. He's even bringing in, as far as we know, the SS are being mated with German women again to increase the birth rate. And so all my instincts tell me that this genocide has been going on since at least after World One, if not before, but at least after World One. World War One, and so consequently, World War Two was just it put all this race mixing of Europe on the back burner, because you've got the rising nationalism in Spain, in Italy, in Germany, and then there's a domino effect, which for 6 years then held everything up. And then as soon as that was over, I believe Truman took up the cause in America, and obviously it wasn't long after when the EU was formed, and then they really got organised and held, should I say, Kalergi in the highest esteem. And he won, of course, the first award, the Kalergi Award. So my instinct tells me there's a link.
Well, there could well be a link. Kalergi's plan was to turn Europe into a mongrelized mass that was ruled over by an aristocracy of Jews. And in order to create the mongrelized mass, you would have to import Negroes from Africa. So the point that you raise there about why did the French bring Negroes in from Africa when they had their own troops? This is the question. Why did they do that? What was the necessity of doing that? And straight away, they were breeding with the Germans and producing these mongrel mulatto types. I think they even had a word for it. Was it Rhine bastards or something like that, Dennis?
Well, yeah, the thing is, I came across a video not long back which showed a lot of footage of these soldiers. But the angle that the video was coming from was they were saying how cruel the Nazis were when the Nazis came to power. And, they sterilized a lot of these soldiers and a lot of these race mixed children. And that was the angle they was coming at. And that's one of the reasons I looked in and I thought, I'm seeing in Europe then what I'm seeing today. And that's when I thought, this is worth investigating.
Well, it's not cruel, is it? I mean, you're preventing children from having their heritage stolen from them.
Well, you know? Exactly. That's the angle that we look at it. But this was a kind of an angle what this video was saying. It was on, like, you know, I think it was an allied version of what was happening. And in a way, it kind of deflected what was really going on, which in the book that you passed on to me when I read, it was more horrific than even I could imagine.
Yeah, it's really shocking in that. It tells you that what went on, what these blacks were like once they were imported in there. They had to set up all these brothels for them. And the peoples in the villages and the towns, obviously they didn't want brothels in their towns. But if they wouldn't allow a brothel to be put there and put white women in it for these Negro soldiers, they were court-martialed. Like, they were taken to court and prosecuted by the French for not allowing these brothels to be put on their land. And even with the brothels, there were all these incidents of rape, wasn't there? There were 7-year-olds, 11-year-olds, young boys, 70-year-old women. You know, exactly the sort of depravity that we see blacks engaging in now, particularly in America. And also the depravity that we see the Muslims engaging in with the young girls and the young boys over here. This was going on back then in the 1920s. And right. Germany was calling on Britain to put a stop to this. That pamphlet, a lot of it is directed at Britain, right. Saying, yep, put a stop to this. You've got to stop France from doing this. What is going to be the long-term effects of doing this? So obviously when Hitler came to power, he decided to try and do something about it by sterilizing the ones that were still there to prevent them contaminating the rest of the nation. I mean, I think, Dennis, that a child should have a right to be born into an ethnic nation. Otherwise, just stripping, stealing their entire heritage. Thousands of years' worth of ancestors are being stolen from them. They're no longer a descendant of those ancestors. They're cut off, their branch cut off from the tree.
They lose the base, yeah. They're soulless. They haven't got that family thing to fall back on. Neither, you know, German or African, neither. So, you know, this is the intention of the Jew, and this looks to have been the intention of the French down in the Rhineland. I mean, like I said, Hitler always had this hatred for France, which, even though he conquered France, you know, he didn't reap any revenge on them as such. Which he could quite easily have done, but he fought the Versailles Treaty all the way till eventually he did get rid of it. But this is kind of a hidden history even to me. I mean, I've obviously heard about it, but you know, when you're just in school and you're in your history lesson, it's taught that poorly and that badly that you just skip over it anyway, you know. But when you really sit down and analyze it, and especially with the Freemason link. I think it warrants an investigation anyway.
Well, what you'd have to try and show is a link between Kalergi and other high-ranking French Freemasons that were involved in bringing these troops over, who were in government at the time. I think that would show a link with it. But it parallels exactly what is going on today with the importing of all these savages from Africa. And then encouraging them to breed with the white women and create mongrels. And if you think this was going on, you know, 90 years ago, this was going on. And like you say, the war put a stop to it. There was a break for 10, 20 years. And then straight after the war, you've got the Windrush, this ship that came over from the Caribbean to Britain, full of Negroes. That were all dropped off, who had been told that they were all citizens, British citizens, and they all suddenly got off the ship. And instead of saying, well, we get back on the ship and go back home, the British government housed them all. And nobody knows to this day who actually put them all on that ship. It's a mystery. You know, it had been for a few months that they'd known they were citizens, and suddenly somebody put them all on the ship and sent them to Britain. And that was the start of it.
That crossed my mind as well, believe it or not, because obviously that would have been the next stage to look at Britain, and you're right, you know, the West Indies came over and flooded the job market. But when you look back, even Churchill was talking about this work of the Jews after he'd read Mein Kampf, He put it in his own book at one point. Never mentioned where he'd seen it. It was an early book that he'd written. And so he was well aware of it. And I mean, I think it was called The Gathering Storm. And he knew all about it. So if Churchill knew all about it, others certainly knew all about it. And so, you know, how far back does it go? Churchill was certainly around at the turn of the 20th century. So to me, it's staring right at me, but it's just like you say, finding the link. I mean, the link could even be that his book were that popular with Freemasons that they just took the book at its word. I don't know. But when you're seeing 40,000 Africans and the press, were keeping things under wraps just like they are today, you know, these rapes, what were happening, were never put in the papers. And there were some vicious rapes and attacks. All went unpunished. I mean, there was an instance of one girl who, actually this was a, wasn't a black, it was a French officer, a white French officer who manhandled her and knocked her to the ground. When she complains to some soldiers nearby, they put her in a cell and she shared the cell with, three Moroccans and a Somalian.
Horrific.
So horrific. God knows what happened there, you know.
Well, apparently these Negro soldiers were there for 5 years as well, these Congoids. That's where they were from. They were from the depths of the Congo, you know, the jungles of the Congo. And they were just shipped over, given guns, given weapons, told that the Germans were the enemy and to pretty much do what they liked.
And then unarmed enemy as well. This is the thing, they took the arms off them.
But if you read the reports, it says that the young women and the children were too frightened to go out at night. They were too frightened to take their produce to the market.
What does that remind
you? They couldn't go anywhere unaccompanied. Well, it's exactly the same as Sweden and Germany today, isn't it?
Exactly.
No, that's what the reports are coming out from. We've seen the YouTubes of these young girls saying that they're too frightened to go out, and this is what's going on. And yet this was happening 90 years ago, and exactly the same as today. It was all being covered up, and until Hitler took power, nothing was really done about it. Were they there right the way up until when Hitler came into power, Dennis?
I mean, like I said, the more I searched in Communism by the Back Door, the more I realised that the Germans knew about, you know, the low birth rate and, you know, and this intention of the Jews. I mean, Hitler talks about it in Mein Kampf, about how the Jew bastardises every nation and race mixes, and it's the only way that they can take a country like Germany down. So he's well aware of it, but of course it's under the cloak of racism and everything else ever since. I mean, even on Question Time last night, some guy was talking, a Tony Blair lookalike, and he was giving it, you know, about, you know, the Brexit thing and how these racist people voted. And they've just painted this thing about being nationalist extreme. And that really annoys me because, you know, in anybody's language, if anybody loves the country and wants to do right by the country, which a nationalist does, they're centre ground.
Well, you naturally want to do the best for your family, don't you? And your race is your extended family. Your nation is your extended family. They don't want people to be a part of a nation.
No,
they want people just to be mindless consumers and producers without any link to the past and with no concern for the descendants of the future. And these people that are in power just want to strip the country of everything that it has and take it all now. Because they're internationalists. So if you are an internationalist, you can do that. You can strip a country and a nation of everything that it has and then move on to another nation.
Yeah, you know, a parasite, yeah.
Yeah, that's like the way they behave. Yeah. That's the thinking behind it. That is internationalism in a nutshell, isn't it? It's just moved from one place to another, stripping it entirely of everything of value.
Well, to be fair, right, at that time, you've got to put your mindset in Europe of that time. And Europe at that time was really a far better Europe than what it is today. I mean, I can't think of any country which kind of like said that, you know, homosexuality is fine. I mean, everyone accuses the Nazis of having to go at homosexuals. But you tell me a country in Europe or in the world then which accepted it. That Europe was a more moral standing continent, where today it's obviously a lot worse because we've had this 70 years of covert Marxism. But at the end of the day, that Europe then, there was I think there was people from Sweden and other countries, you know, and even the Daily Mirror from the UK wrote out against this obvious attempt to persecute the Germans even more in peacetime.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, those Negroes were told that they were at war, weren't they? That's what they were there for. And again, it was about stripping the assets of the country. It was about getting the French to keep making all these getting the Germans rather to keep making all these payments to the French. And it was even written about in that pamphlet that the way that the Negro behaves with his own women. If he hasn't got his own women there, then he will be raping the European women because they don't have the same ideas about marriage that we have. In the Congo with the Negroes, they just take any woman that's available, and the word they have for it is borrowing. I borrowed a woman, it means that they went and raped a female, basically.
Especially if you've got a rifle. Yeah. You know, you can go up to anybody and say, because they had that affection again for this blonde-haired woman, apparently. So, you know, nothing changes. And if you've got a gun, it don't matter what size of a German guy's in front of you, you know, there's a gang of them anyway. They're going to do whatever they're going to do because there was no, you know, kind of a court case against anybody, as far as I can make out.
Well, the court cases were against the villagers who said they didn't want brothels in their village. Yeah,
these are people who never even contemplated anything like a brothel.
I mean, that pamphlet,
being forced on them.
Yeah, well, that pamphlet says that when they set these brothels up, the queues went on for miles around of these Negroes all waiting for their chance, their go. And of course, they're all curious.
Like 10 a day, weren't they? 10.
Yeah. They're all curious.
I think they imported some black women, but they weren't never enough for 40,000.
Yeah, well, they were all curious. Didn't want to go with the black women, would they? They wanted to go with the white women.
Exactly.
Exactly. Wanted to go with the master, who had been the master. I mean, that pamphlet accuses some of them of you know, pretty much kidnapping these Negroes and then just transporting them.
They went missing. Some never turned up again. I mean, this is what I'm saying. I mean, in that documentary of mine on the Adolf Hitler one, I actually show, I think it's a funeral of a French soldier who'd been killed. And there's a funeral and a couple of Germans don't take their hats off. And this French soldier comes up and boots them all and threatens them, strikes them. You know, that's nothing to what, you know, you thought then, you know, what's going on. That's nothing to what really went on. This is unbelievable.
And when you look at France today, I mean, France is paying for this. I mean, France has more Muslims in it than any other country in Europe, and it has more terrorist attacks than any other country in Europe. Now, you look at Paris. Paris is now as bad as Calais was a month or so back. You've got all these Moroccans, Sudanese, Congolese, all just lying there on the streets, you know, on mattresses, on the pavement. You know, it just looks like a shanty town. And that's the middle of Paris. So that's supposed to be the romantic city of Paris that people take their wives to on a romantic break. And it's now just like a huge squat filled with these savages.
I've just got a couple of reports here. May 1920, working girl 19 seized on the road to Wiesbaden by a Moroccan soldier guarding a wagon shed, raped with great violence after being threatened with a bayonet. Another case, batch of cases in June 1920. Cases include the raping of a woman by two black soldiers, a man and a woman on the way to Yunheim, sprung upon by five or six coloured soldiers. And that's just a sample.
Well, yeah, it was gang rape, and they didn't care if it was male, female, a child, an old woman. They just didn't care. It was anybody that was white that they felt like grabbing hold of and abusing. They did, and it was all hushed up. I mean, we think that what's happening today is a new thing, but it's not. I mean, this proves it that this was going on 90 years ago, and nothing was said about it. So this has to be a it has to be a thought out plan to replace us and to force these other races on us, doesn't it? The reason for freedom changes all the time.
Besides the fact that everything's hidden. I mean, we didn't know about Kalergi till a couple of years ago. You know, I mean, I had no idea that Hitler knew him. And then, you know, you got these the press, just like today, hiding it from, you know, the people in Germany back then. It's same old.
Well, back then they were saying, well, we have to bring these Congolese soldiers in because the Germans aren't producing enough in the Saar and in the Palatinate, and we need to bring these soldiers in to get them to create more. And then after the war, they're saying, well, we need to bring these blacks in to do all the jobs that the British people don't want to do. We need them for the NHS and all this sort of thing. And then they say, well, we need to bring them in because they're fleeing war. They're fleeing war. We need to bring them in because there's war in Rwanda or Sudan or wherever it is. And now they say, well, we need to bring them in just because life isn't very good where they are living, because they're poor. We need to bring them in because they're poor. You know, every decade or so, the reason changes, but the actual fact of the matter, the result of what they're doing, remains the same. It's race replacement. And they've gone from saying, you know, they're doing the jobs that we don't want to do, to now saying, well, we have to have a quota of them in every position. You know, we have to have 15% black minority ethnics on the television.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what gets all the time. And, you know, you see a family, the nine times out of ten, the race mixed.
Well, it's constant promotion of that, isn't it? When you look at the advertisements on the television, if you see, go on.
I was just going to say, not only was the fact that there was these mixed children being born, and which I'm sure must have been planned along with the clergy plan, but the problem was that you had hospitals overflowing with venereal disease of 14-year-old or 15-year-old girls.
There was another report, wasn't it? I think it was a young boy, a 7-year-old boy with syphilis after being raped by one of these monsters.
Well, it says here, I quote, many young girls, German girls, some not more than 14 or 15, are brought to the hospitals. One of the cities is Bonn. The hospitals no longer suffice. Public buildings have had to be requisitioned. And the instance of the Catholic Teacher Seminary State Archives building was taken over. The moral health of the Rhineland was being poisoned.
Totally poisoned. That many cases with syphilis that they couldn't cope, that there wasn't enough room at the hospital for them. So this was a big thing in Mein Kampf, wasn't it? Hitler was talking about syphilis.
He talked about syphilis, yeah. And now we know why. I mean, you know, the early part of Adolf Hitler's greatest story, it's mentioned that he talks about other things other than, you know, race in the book. He mentions boxing. He talks about syphilis. I understand why he talks about syphilis.
Now we know where that syphilis came from. It came from the Congo, introducing it into the country. And this is the same that's going on today in Bulgaria at the moment. They've got an outbreak of smallpox in the refugee camp. They've shut the refugee camp down. And they said they've quarantined it. So the refugees have started burning the camp down. But smallpox, something that was supposedly eradicated over a century ago, you know, that's not supposed to even exist anymore. And yet we've got an outbreak of it in Bulgaria.
Yeah. I mean, I said a couple of weeks ago that I had this weird illness, which, you know, I was convinced, you know, it wasn't European because it just wasn't anything like, you know, what the normal symptoms are of anything that we get, and the whole family got it. And then I found out that a whole lot of people where the wife works got it. And this is going to get worse because they're coming in just willy-nilly. I mean, Merkel said, come on down, and God knows what diseases are bringing in.
Well, we haven't got the immune systems to cope with the diseases from, you know, the jungle and the rainforest.
Exactly.
We haven't developed a resistance against those things. That's why you have a quarantine for animals. You know, I mean, they won't allow you to transport animals around the world. They have to be quarantined, don't they, for 6 months?
That's
dogs have to be quarantined. So how the hell can we just allow these savages in from darkest Africa without them being quarantined? How can we have these people quarantined?
The only answer to that, Ben, is it's an agenda.
Well, it has to be, doesn't it?
Got to be, because why else would you not bother about the race that's been inflicted? Because that's what it boils down to. They're just putting 10 million Muslims into Germany. It doesn't take a genius to work out within a couple of decades with the number of wives that they have and the number of the children that they have, that's going to quadruple and even more. until eventually, and all the laws are being changed, of course, to suit them. So, you know, it's an agenda. I mean, how people can't see it is beyond me.
Well, I think more and more people are seeing this. This is why we're seeing the rise of the alt-right. This is why we've had Brexit. This is why we've got Donald Trump in power. Hopefully next month we'll see Norbert Hofer get elected to the Austrian Freedom Party, and next year Marine Le Pen get elected in France. I do think people are waking up to this. But it's important that we look back into history and see how we got to the situation that we are in today. This is why I find this tale so interesting, Dennis, because it parallels exactly what is happening today. So there was obviously this was going on back then, and that does link in with the Kudinov-Kalergi plan, which came out then. I do hope that you're able to show a link between him and the people that were responsible for bringing these soldiers into the Rhineland. I've seen some of the. Have you seen any of the propaganda about this? The propaganda pictures. You can find some of them on Google Images.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, soldiers. I mean, like I said, I watched the a YouTube video which was that Allied slanted, but it shows some great footage of these soldiers as well. And this is what, you know, got me thinking. And you know, coincidence is too much, because I know what these people are like. You know what I mean? We know what they're like. You know. Even it was said, like, they're too crafty, even for the German people. These people wake up every morning and look for ways to get one up on you. Whereas the European is of a different nature, is a more, especially with Christian values, is help thy neighbour rather than rip my neighbour off or steal or kill him. And so, you know, I will take a look. You know, this is definitely something which has grabbed my attention.
Well, it's the same thing that's destroyed every past civilization that we've ever had. I mean, you can see the remnants of it now. You can see the remnants of it in India. That used to be a great white civilization. And now it's full of brown people living among ruins and shitting in the streets. Now, you can look back and read what happened to ancient Rome. And what they did, they made all the slaves into citizens and started interbreeding with them. So they lost Rome. You can look back at Babylon. Babylon started out as a white empire, and it allowed all these other races in, and it interbred with them. And now you've got brown people there. Exactly the same with Egypt. You know, who Kudinov-Kalergi mentions, who says, you know, that the modern day European is going to look like a modern Egyptian, who was basically a mix of white people or Europeans and Negroids. And look at what happened to the Egyptian civilization. Again, that you've got these brown skinned Arabs living among ruins. I mean, this has happened time and time and time again. And you've got these Freemasons involved in it. And the Freemasons claim that their history goes back, way back. And I would suggest that it's the same people that have been pushing for this all this time. And when you look at the people who are pushing for it, it's the very people that Kudinov-Kalergi said were going to be this new aristocracy. You know, it's the Jews.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that about what these people do in the streets, because I actually saw a video of a guy, I can't remember which European country it actually was, but he was stood up against one of these water fountains, like, and it had a number two and was wiping himself down in broad daylight. Again, even in America, I saw, she's one of the Muslim, and I don't think it was a white woman to me, she was just putting a poster of Trump on the floor and having a number two on top of it in the middle of the street. The world's going crazy.
Vile behaviour. They behave. They have the habits of the beasts and the birds. That's the thing. They have the habits of the beasts and the birds. And the white man has always had running water. He's always had proper latrines. He's always had a sewage system. You look at ancient Rome. They had a system for taking the waste away. Yeah. You know, but these other races, they will just do it in the street. I mean, even in Africa, there's even been MPs saying, "Do it on the beach. Don't use the water systems, because you'll pollute the water systems." And he's encouraging these Negroes just to, you know, take a dump on the beach. And this is what ruined the South African beaches. Once they allowed the blacks in there, they just pooped everywhere.
And what did Patton see when he went into Berlin?
What did he say?
Well, he went into a synagogue with Eisenhower at one point, and he said he couldn't get rid of the stench from his nose for 2 weeks. They just went to a corner of a room and just did what they did.
And that was the Jews, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, the Bolsheviks.
Vile.
In a synagogue. Did taking over.
Well, I think when people lose their whiteness, they lose their heritage, and they become contaminated with these other races, Negroid races, then they lose that that sense of I don't know what the word is. They just lose that sense of being a higher
being. Esteem. Yeah, they've got esteem, they lose that heritage which has been ingrained. Not only, as they're brought up, but it just becomes a natural way for the European to act.
They lose the sense of self-esteem and behave like animals.
So,
and that's the same with the sex lives as well. If you look at, Africa, the way they behave, they don't have an institution like we do, marriage. They don't have one man, one woman. Now, in one part of Africa, the women, the currency is basically sex. They sleep with the fishermen in order to get the fish from them. And this is the currency that they have. The women go out and sleep with whoever in order to buy fish so that they can then sell the fish at the market. And that's their currency. It's sex.
Kind of bartering.
You've got these wrong-minded missionary groups that go out there and try to stop them from doing this and try to get them to use something else to barter with. But they won't have it because that's their history. That's the way that they've evolved is to do that, is to whatever they want, whatever items they want, is to exchange sex for it. That's what their culture is. And we go over there and try to mess with it.
I've just read a quick line. I've made a note of this line here. It says this is a report about what the situation was then. It says it is deliberate, calculated, and purposeful. The military requirements of France do not make it necessary. Germany's helpless. She's virtually disarmed. In no quarter is it suggested that it will be possible for her, within measurable distance of time, to raise and equip an army wherewith to fight even the French alone. Because if you remember that at that time, they're only allowed a 100,000 army in the whole of Germany. They were victims, and they've always have been victims in my eyes. But I didn't realise that the suffering they went. I knew they went under the suffering of the Versailles Treaty, but this is a physical suffering of it's degradation, I suppose. It's just. And it's still going on today.
Well, we knew that they were demoralised during the Weimar period and became very degenerate, and homosexuality was promoted. Plays about divorce came out, encouraging people to get divorced. People were forced to prostitute themselves. Children were forced to prostitute themselves.
That's right.
We knew that all that went on. But at the same time, in what should have been the most prosperous part of Germany, the industrial district, you had all these armed Negroes there just raping at will and doing as they pleased. And this went on until Hitler took power. So this is the reason why he then sterilized the offspring of that, because otherwise, you just had these another generation of rapists.
Correct.
Wandering the streets, polluting the German nation with their seed.
Correct. Can I just mention this... the title, which people might be interested in, is called The Horror on the Rhine, which you recommend to read, by E.D. Morrell. And it's a really, it's not a long read, but it's an interesting read.
Yeah, it's just a short pamphlet, but, it tells you what went on. And the parallels with today are shocking, because it is just like reading what's going on in Sweden at the moment, or what's going on in Germany at the moment. Do you know Merkel's put in for the chancellorship again this year?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. Yeah, she's going to run for election, isn't she? And they'll rig that one.
She thinks she's actually got a chance. I don't think she's got a chance. I don't think she has a hope in hell.
If it's rigged, she has,
Well, yeah, if it's rigged, but things are moving in another direction now, aren't they? This is the thing.
Well, it's getting to the point that it's getting harder to rig, because the gap now, in the voting is so one-sided. I honestly feel that the Brexit, unlike the Scottish vote, which I felt was suspect to being rigging. The Brexit was too big a vote to actually rig.
What do you think about it?
Having said that, sorry, they're still trying to, you know, there's no movement to get out of Europe yet, which is a worry.
Yeah, they haven't actually started off that Article 50 yet. But I was going to say, but if you think about everything that was against Donald Trump winning, all the intimidation that went on, all the vote rigging, and he still won with them, you know, I mean, that's a landslide. That's a huge mandate that he has.
And I think he will have a bigger margin than what they say, to be honest.
He's already condemned Merkel for bringing in all these Muslims. He's already condemned the other European countries for allowing in all these foreigners. So if America plays such an important role in Germany, because we know that Germany is subservient to America, if the head of the administration in America is against all of this, then I don't think the people in Germany are really going to want Merkel to be the head of Germany, because she'll be opposed to the chief of America.
So yeah, well, didn't she say when Trump won, she'd only deal with him if he was more caring person, you know, because she was saying that he'd talk lousy about all these various minorities. So, but I mean, she can't lay the law down to Merkel. Has no say in the thing in the greater picture. Anyway, she's just a puppet.
Yeah, well, that's just it. I mean, she was making all these demands of Donald Trump, demanding that she would only work with him if he did X, Y, Z, and she's not in any position to make demands of the President of America. She's subservient to the President of America. We saw that when she was being bugged, and she just had to back down, didn't she?
With the mobile phones, yeah.
Yeah, you know, ever since the war, Germany has been an occupied nation. They admitted it, that half of Germany was occupied by Russia, but the other half was occupied by America. And the Russian part gave Germany back, took the wall down, but the American part never gave Germany back to the Germans.
They might have pulled some troops out, but there's still bases there.
Well, I mean, Donald Trump has said about removing some of these bases, hasn't he? And how he doesn't really want NATO to be used in the way that it is. Someone else, one of our hosts, Subal, suggested that what a good use for NATO would be to prevent these invading warships coming in from Africa. Now, that is an idea, you know. Donald Trump could do that. He could say, well, we want to start using NATO to prevent all these immigrants coming over from Africa.
Well, it'll be a start. I mean, I think there's a lot of damage being done. It would be a start.
We have to start sending them back. What happened with these 40,000 troops then, Dennis? Did Hitler send them back? Did France eventually send them back? What happened to them? Do you know?
Well, as far as I can gather, and like I said, you know, I'm only in the early stages of researching it, that whether some of these blacks fought for Germany is unsure. I know blacks did fight for them, and a lot were apparently sterilized. According to this YouTube video, which I watched, they were sent to the gas chambers with the Jews. Surprise, surprise. So I'd need to research a little bit more first.
Yeah, there's a book written by I forget her name, Veronica something or other, and what she's basically trying to show is she's trying to say that all of Germany was race mixed. She was saying that because there were different nations, white nations that had mixed with the Germans, that they were mixed. And what she was trying to do is show these black soldiers to show that there were all these blacks there, and that they were treated as Germans, and they were interbreeding with all the Germans. But that wasn't the case, because they'd been sterilized.
And, I think they brought a law against that as well, didn't they? I think.
Well, yeah, there was laws against the interbreeding.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't allowed to do that. That was the race laws. I forget the name of them now, but it was before those laws were actually brought in. People that had been married before then were allowed to stay married, but anyone after that, you know, you couldn't breed with the white people. I mean, it only makes sense that you would ban other
especially
races
at that time, because Hitler was well aware of the falling birth count, which is even worse today. You know, plus we've lost how many millions in the wars. So you know, these, you know, desperate measures have to be taken in desperate times, and that's exactly what it were. And he needed to build up that that stock of that Aryan stock because it were being decimated.
What we need
ever since.
What we need is a law against replacing the electorate. So there's a law against replacing one people with another.
Yeah, yeah. I think it should be a law against voting. Just get a decent dictator and we'll all be happier.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, the benevolent dictator is the way that we've always lived. We've always had kings, and that's what a king is a benevolent dictator. That was the way that was our system of government for thousands of years.
Well, the public's too easily swayed, Sven, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's not that difficult to, you know, to get a vote out of somebody, you know, when you've got drip, drip, drip all week about refugees on beaches and all this kind of carry on. Then you've got another couple of episodes of Coronation Street thrown in, and then you've got a couple of episodes of EastEnders, and it's just drip, 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 homosexuality. And, you know, people are lulled into this false illusion that what is now used to be wrong is now right.
I do think there is hope that people are waking up to it. Have you heard about this new Oxford Dictionary word of the year, post-truth, which is basically saying that objective fact is no longer as powerful with the people as appeals to emotion? And that boy on the beach, that is exactly it. It was an appeal to emotion to try and get people to avoid the objective facts that these refugees were just causing problems. And instead of seeing the rapes and the murders and the attacks and the terrorism and the mongrelization, people were just seeing the boy on the beach and thinking, oh, my emotions, oh, how sad that is. We've got to let them all in.
Exactly.
And that's what this word is, post-truth, is saying that emotional manipulation has taken the place of objective fact in the media. And this is their word of the year. And they're trying to say that it's to do with sites like InfoWars that helped Donald Trump get to power. But it's the opposite of that. I mean, it was the people that didn't want Donald Trump that were coming out with all the lies and the emotional manipulation. And it was sites like InfoWars, Daily Stormer, all the alternative sites that were telling us about the crimes that the refugees were committing. Now, it's completely the other way around, but the fact that this word has now entered the English language and it's been made Word of the Year by the Oxford Dictionary, I think that gives us some hope that people are waking up to this and are seeing this, that it is just emotional manipulation.
Well, I mean, you know, they see this baby on the beach and they think, oh, we've got to help them, etc. And another thing they don't see is that with all this emotion what's going around, Israel doesn't lift a finger.
Well, not at all. It's Israelis that call for more refugees into our countries, but you'll never see an Israeli calling for more refugees into Israel.
Exactly. And the Saudis, and the Jordan, you know, all these people under the effect of, Egypt's another one, under the effect of Israel down there in the Middle East. And so, you know, they accept no fellow Arabs even.
Well, I hope Donald Trump does what he says he's going to do. He said he was going to create a safe space in Syria for the refugees, and then they could all go there. And that would mean that we could deport the ones that we've got in Europe to the safe space in Syria. Now, that would be a plan.
That would be a positive if that were to happen. By the way, what's your view on Trump not following up on the Clinton?
Well, I don't know. All he said is I'm not going to prosecute her, and he wouldn't be prosecuting her anyway. It would be one of the authorities that deal with criminals that would be prosecuting her, and he's also not in office yet. And if he had said he was going to prosecute her, Obama could have pardoned her. So I think with Trump, we've just got to wait until he actually gets into office.
I've said that all along. I really have, because we knew what Clinton was, and Trump, to prove what we're saying, actions speak louder than words, and I do believe he will hammer ISIS, which will cause a problem with some allies, because obviously Britain are down there to help ISIS overthrow Assad.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? America's just been funding any group that said that they were fighting against Assad. That's what's caused all these problems. You know, so Trump getting friendly with Putin and going after ISIS with Putin, I mean, that's really put a spanner in the works for the Jews who wanted to see Assad toppled and a Muslim state there. I mean, that's messed all of that up. for them.
Correct. So
that's an incredibly positive outcome from that. But back with Clinton, I think, you know, if she's committed crimes, I don't think Donald Trump is going to cover them up for her. If she's committed crimes, I think he'll go after her. You know, that's the thing. I mean, he's not going to say, well, I'm going to break the law and not prosecute her. If it's found that she has done, if it's found that she is corrupt, then obviously I think you stand a much better chance of her being prosecuted under him than under
Obama.
Anyone else. Yeah.
Exactly. Obama's in the same boat here.
Well, it's absolutely true what you say, Dennis. Actions speak louder than words, because the media will try and pick out things that he said and take them out of context. But you've just got to look at what his actions are and what he does. And this has been the same. They were saying this 1,000 years ago. They were saying actions speak louder than words. You know, the church
Hitler.
Was saying this.
I've always said it about Hitler. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, they come up to me and they say, you know, he's in the occult. You know, even he's a Freemason, and suddenly it all comes out. He wipes out Freemasonry. You know, actions, then he goes into the Soviet Union, opens up all the churches. You know, actions speak louder than any word.
Well, it's the actions that show me that Hitler was a Christian. You know, his actions.
And one of the greatest.
were the actions of a Christian. You know, exactly. He loved his nation more than himself. You know, he loved his neighbour more than himself. Yeah. He got rid of usury. You know, he saw man as being in the image of God, and anything that was damaged or deformed was obviously a mockery of the image of God. I mean, that was behind the attempts to improve the racial hygiene, was because man was, you know, in the image of God, and if man is in the image of God, he should act like one and behave like one, not behave like a devil.
You know, no, because all this kind of brings everything onto us by. I know there's a lot of people out there, you know, they believe that Christianity is a Jewish invention. But to me, as soon as you take the morals away of Christianity, this is now the downfall. I watched this thing about Freddie Mercury during the week, and it showed the dives and the clubs in Berlin, which he vacated. You know, he went through more guys over there than Soft Mick. The guy was a complete moron. And, you know, he even met Rock Hudson, by the way. Told his living lover, should I say, that he'd met Roy. And so you tell me, if a Hollywood film star meets a famous rock star and they both end up dying of AIDS, there's a connection there somewhere, which I'm not even going to bother going down.
Well, homosexuals, you know, it's inferred that they mustn't turn down another homosexual if he wants to sodomize them. You know, they can't turn them down. You know, if they turn them down,
well, he certainly didn't.
Yeah, well, it's just not the done thing. You know, this is why they've had, you know, hundreds of partners, thousands of partners in a lifetime, and are full of disease. They go to these clubs, and you know, you just have to bend over for whoever wants it. I mean, it's vile, absolutely vile, the lifestyle of the homosexual that is being taught to our children as being the equivalent of a normal heterosexual family. You know, it's sickening, Dennis. At least he didn't have to deal with that. You know, the promotion of this filth exactly. To children. And he had to deal with this race mixing in the Rhineland, but at least he didn't have that filth to deal with. Well, we have to
deal with it now.
Yeah, we have to deal with it. Yeah. Well, we're doing something about it anyway. At least we are doing something about it now. But anyway, that sort of brings us to the end of the podcast, I think. Dennis, do you want to let people know where they can find your work?
Yeah, as usual, the Great Story Never Told.tv. Coming in by the back door, you can find it on the YouTube, Dennis Wise, and the Coming in by the Back Door channels on YouTube. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to get it out for Christmas, but I think the website are checking pre-orders, so it should arrive if people want it after Christmas, shortly after at least.
Oh, that's a shame it's not there for Christmas. At least you've got Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. People can get it on DVD, which I do recommend.
Get
that on DVD, because then you can lend it out to people and they can watch it as well. All right, well, thank you very much for coming on once again, Dennis. Thank you very much to listeners for listening. Don't forget the Yorkshire Forum is on this weekend. If anyone wants to go to that, then they should check out the Daily Storm of Forums, check out the book club for the Northwest. All the details for that are there. Hopefully I will be there. Hopefully I'll meet some of you there. So again, thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back next week, same time, same place, with more Truth Will Out Radio for you.